Welcome to this Red Meat and Wool Growth Program podcast brought to you by PIRZA.
New technology on a farm is a wonderful thing if it increases profit, productivity, and importantly, saves time. However, it's not always that wonderful if you're one of the early adopters going through the learning curve of trying to make it all work. A person who's been at the leading edge of that curve is Robert Pocock, who has a mixed farm in the Mallee. G'day, I'm Drew Radford, and Robert joins me in the PIRZA studio to discuss some of the gains he's made from introducing new technology to his farm. Robert, thanks for your time.
Yeah, no worries, Drew.
Robert, your property's in the Mallee, but whereabouts?
So we're at Lamoureux, at Lampeter, which is 20 kilometres northwest of Lamoureux. Yeah, just in the typical Mallee country.
What are you running on the property, Robert?
So we've got a Pol Merino stud and commercial flock, as well as a grain enterprise.
Now, you're almost local. You've been there a couple of generations, I understand.
Yeah, I've a great-grandfather, and now I've got my boys. Well, they're only 2 and 4, but, yeah, they're kicking around now as well.
Wow, so what, 5 generations?
Yeah, 5th generation now, yeah.
This generation, your generation, has seen a dramatic change in terms of the amount of technology that you're able to bring onto a property.
Yeah, it's a bit scary, actually. It's great, but it's also a challenging process to go through.
Now, you've adopted a range of technologies, but before we drill down into them, what are a couple of the things that you're hoping to achieve by bringing on some new technology onto the property?
I probably just want to pick up the efficiencies and make work easier. So, you know, for staff and ourselves to be able to do, you know, high quality work and do a lot with the data we would get that we would have never done because it's just too hard to manage.
Well, in terms of managing the data or capturing the data or both?
Well, capturing the data is probably the easier part, and then making decisions based from it is probably the bit where we'll make the gains, I suppose, is where the money will be made.
Now, in terms of applying technology, I understand you got into EID, but that was really for the stud side of the business, was it?
Yes and no. When we did it, we sort of jumped into everything because we've been fleece weighing, body weighing and wool testing for probably the best part of 40 years. And we were doing that up till probably 10 years ago with just visual tags. And we're getting a lot of errors with tags being read, et cetera, and tag retention and what have you. So, yeah, just started looking at it and eventually we've sort of landed on where we are and, yeah, just been evolving that since with small changes and trying to get the functions in the yards, you know, a lot more consistent, et cetera. So when we have sheep come through, we know good performers, poor performers, pregnancy status over their life, et cetera, those sorts of things in the commercial flock. And then in the stud, you know, I guess we're making a lot of our decisions off of the data that we've collected across the whole farm and the whole flock, and then turning that into selecting animals on their genetic potential and also their visual characteristics that we prefer.
You mentioned there originally you were doing it manually and you've gone over to EID. What are some of the key technologies you've got in terms of applying that?
Probably the biggest one we did was when we first got into it, we went straight in. Like, we didn't really hold back. We bought a good secondhand sheep handler, come auto drafter, an older Racewell Tapari handler, and then got a stick reader and then some software and computers, etc. Yeah, good examples of what we've done is when we used to class our hoggets, it would take 2 days to do 1,000 new hoggets. Just by the time, you know, you'd gone through, read the ear tags, marked the sheep, drafted them off into their groups manually and then bring them back to have a look at, you know, specific groups of them to generate the flocks we wanted, etc. Now we're drafting them and start classing them within 3 hours.
That's a massive labour saving.
That one's been the biggest one. But then on the other hand, now that we've got the EID and all the rest of it, when we're weaning, every animal on the farm gets a weaning weight, its health record put against it. So every time they get a treatment, it's recorded, and then we know what and where and how they're being treated. If any animals have got a withholding period or they've had a fault at some stage or they've had an antibiotic or something like that, if they've had an incident somewhere along the line, and they're just probably better for general management. It's just things that are now happening in standard practice that we probably weren't even doing beforehand that most farmers would probably like to do. And if we can do it without even realising we're doing it, it's positive.
So you're basically talking about a lot better welfare management there and final productivity outcomes, aren't you?
Certainly.
When you're able to narrow it down almost to a per animal basis, that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, certainly. And also the time that they've spent in the yards. Like, you know, we can draft sheep and ewes and lambs at, you know, 600-700 an hour, pretty well on average, off of the data. So whereas before the sheep could have been in for 2 or 3 days or, you know, like a day either side of what we were doing, and what we'd have was, you know, like they're off water or a pregnant ewe, for example. But now, you know, they're in, they're drafted, we've gone through and got the animals out we want and then got them back onto food and water, either out in the paddock or into containment. You know, it's going to be much better for them and us as well. And, you know, we can work with the weather. You know, if it's hot, we just get it done early in the morning or in the evening and all that sort of stuff in summer. And if it's wet, then you pick your days when it's wet because, you know, or not wet, so you know that you can get it in and out and done.
These technologies, do they also help in regards to making a consistent approach across your properties if you've got multiple people working with your flock?
Oh, that's a good question. Yes and no, I think. You know, there's a little bit to learn with setting them up and using the software and the machines and what have you. You know, it's not as simple as just, you know, we've all learned to ride a bike, but when you first did it, it was probably challenging. So, you know, there's always the steps of education and the processes to do it. Yeah, we always find it quite difficult. Like a lot of challenges sometimes with connectivity of machinery, like because a lot of it talks with Bluetooth or whatever else, and each time you turn it off and on, it changes how it connects and whatever else. And you know, if you use the same machine every day, day in, day out, probably not too many dramas. But sometimes it could go for a couple of months before we go back and do something with it, and you just go, oh, not again. But then once you get it going, it doesn't, sometimes the half an hour, a bit of heartache when you're starting, you can quite easily make up for it with the efficiency of the equipment at the time of using it.
So what you're talking about there, Robert, is a lot of complex technology that I'm assuming you've had to have a big learning curve. Is that all been you by yourself and a lot of slapping hand on the forehead, or have you been able to get some help in places as well?
Well, I would have to give a lot of credit to the company that we use the software for, is Sapiens Call Collect, because they've got a great support, you know, system on the phone, et cetera, which, yes, we do lean on them at times for when we're having trouble getting equipment to talk, et cetera. But it has been, you know, it has been challenging. Like when we first started probably 10 years ago, there was no one really locally that you could go and see and talk to too much about it. If they were, they were just dabbling around on the edges of the tech. Now I feel as though that we've sort of got it to a point where we're running it pretty easily now.
What about down the track, Robert? What are you looking to bring on board to your property to make things work even better in terms of technology into the future?
Well, tech into the future, some things will be as simple as just DNA testing of the flock and individual animals, and then going right probably down to the telemetry and surveillance of water systems, so we can monitor, you know, if we've got leaks and efficiencies in water levels and what have you, so we can then know before a Friday afternoon that there's been a broken trough and we've got to go out and find water on the weekend and whatever else and fix it. That'd be much better to know and be alerted that, you know, there's an issue occurring before we pick it up.
Is that access to data networks that's holding some of that stuff back for you, Robert?
Probably the fact that there's so many players in the game and smaller players and, you know, what system's going to be best for me, which one's going to be expandable, which one's good value, you know, nearly the return on investment, so to speak, will be, you know, obviously we've all got budget constraints and you can't go and spend X amount of dollars on some things when, you know, all is what they're doing is something that you can do when you're driving around, probably checking stock anyway. So we need to be careful what we're doing. Like, you know, distance of tyranny here on our property is not too bad. Like, we're about 35 k's from furthest point to furthest point on 6 farms, but we're generally over them every couple of days doing something. So, you know, you do see things happening.
There's so many software solutions, and you do a mixed farming enterprise as well. You do a lot of cropping. So, do you find anything that meets all your needs, or you've got to be across a whole range of software and tech?
I think it's the biggest problem that a mixed farm faces at the moment is that there's no farm monitoring platform such as AgWorld, AgriWeb, that covers both the livestock and the grain enterprises really well. They're either really good with livestock or really good with grain, and they have big weaknesses in pasture and livestock records or cropping records, et cetera, and chemical treatments in paddocks and fertilisings and stuff like that. So, yeah, there's a big space there for someone to merge the two together, I think, and, yeah, they will probably be very successful if they can make that happen.
Robert, we've talked a lot about tech that's related to EID. What are some of the other livestock tech that you're using to improve your productivity?
So, yeah, we do muscle scanning, wool ofter testing and pregnancy testing. You know, that's pretty standard practice, preg scanning nowadays. But, yeah, we've been doing that for a long time, and the muscle scanning, et cetera. So that's the other tech that is probably not necessarily seen as tech, but it's actually the component that helps with the genetic gain and all the rest, so we can monitor what stock are doing what and improving, you know, the animals generally performance over multi-generations.
And your eye muscle testing, is that mainly for your stud flock?
Yeah, Zeb. So the eye muscle testing, yeah, we've been doing that with the stud flock for a while, just trying to increase the, you know, the meat characteristics and improve all of that and the fat covering and stuff on the merinos we've got. We've been targeting a dual purpose, you know, flock for a long, long time. And I guess we're validating the animals in that actually are by testing that.
Robert, it sounds a bit like you're flying the Starship Enterprise out there in the Mallee country. What do you reckon your great-grandfather would say if you could have a bit of a gander at it?
Sometimes I think he'd actually just say, calm down a bit. There's a lot going on. And I think that myself at times. But we've just got to do what we can to keep moving forwards. And a lot of this is probably not making heaps more money, but it's making our life probably better. And, you know, I can justify why we're making decisions, because it's actually got an objective measurement rather than actually being, you know, an assumption.
Well, yeah, your outcomes are based on science, so you can at least go back and ratify it all. But, you know, you mentioned they're making your life better. That's got to be important as well. You know, you talk about water monitoring technology there. That's got to give you the confidence down the track to be even just get a break from the property, surely.
Well, that's, yeah, will be great. Like, granted, we do have to clean water troughs here regularly anyway, you know, with a dusty environment at times, but it'd just be nice to know that, something's gone wrong. I can send someone over to fix it and look at it. Or you just know that, you know, you get your alert in the morning when you're having a coffee on holidays and, yep, everything's all right. The blokes are going to have a good day. So that'll be good. Yeah, I can see a lot of stuff happening in that space that'll be good. The satellite imagery, I'm really excited to see what we can do with that, Drew. It'll be lovely to be able to go, yep, the sheep have been grazing this paddock here, here and here, and then go back and have a look and see what they're actually eating and why they're, you know, why they're into that patch more than others and what's the reasoning for it.
Well, Robert, I'm almost tired from listening to the enormous amount of technology you've brought onto your property, everything from satellite technology to cutting-edge water monitoring through to individual animal welfare management. It's an enormous amount of technology. To find out more about the systems being used by Robert, go to the red meat and wool section of the PIRZA website, where you can find out more about the Focus Farms, of which his is one of those. Robert, thanks, though, for joining me in the PIRZA studio.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks, Drew.
The Red Meat and Wool Growth Program is an initiative of Primary Industries and Regions SA and supported by Meat and Livestock Australia, SA Sheep and Cattle Industry Funds and Sheep Connect SA.